time to bring up the Word of God. We're going to ask that you all please stand for the reading of the Word of God. We are going to go right back where we were last week.
Amen.
It just got so good to be. You know what? I'm with Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. Romans chapter 3. Verses 21 through 24. I mean, all I could do last week was just get past one verse. You know, and then it was just two words, but now.
Yes.
And you know, once you realize how good, look, I'm getting ready to preach now. Look, those two words alone just got me going, but now. Because you got to thinking about, you know what, before but now, wasn't none of it good. Starting from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 up until Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it wasn't nothing good to say.
But now.
Except verse 21. It said, but now. And but now changes everything. See, if it was negative before, it's positive now. Because of the conjunction. Boy, thank God for three-letter words. But now. Look, but now. Okay. You got more than enough time to get there. And again, I'm going to read from the New King James Version first, and then I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. King James, old, not old, but the New King James Version reads on this wise. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation reads, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him, without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet, God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous, and he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son who died on Calvary's cross so that we might have relationship with you. Oh, Lord, we ask that you draw in our wandering mind, that you would cause us to, Lord, think and meditate upon your word. I pray, Father God, for those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins, that, Lord, they may come forth and say, what must I do to be saved? And then for those of us, Father God, who do know you, Lord, my prayer is that we would come with a greater fire, a greater desire, far more encouraged, Lord, to be sons and daughters of you. Well, not just be sons and daughters, but to act like we related to you. Because, Lord, sometimes we don't always act like it, even though it's required of us. So we come right now, Father God, humbly asking that, Lord, that you would let your word find a lodging place in our heart, that it would move on us, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. But further, I pray, Father God, that you would decrease me, and that you would increase your Holy Spirit. Let your word go forth with clarity and with power, and do those things that you've purposed them to do. I pray, Father God, that you hide me behind the cross. Think with my mind and speak with my mouth. For Lord, only you know what needs to be said. So, Lord, we realize that no preaching, no real preaching, can come forth unless the real preacher appears, which is the him to rest, rule, and abide upon this place and upon me. Let me speak your words with Holy Ghost boldness. Let it do that which you purposed it to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. For this we ask in Jesus' mighty name, and we all do say,
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last week we began this journey, and I thought for sure when I was sitting down about three weeks ago, writing this thing out, that, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to cover all these verses, and then we're going to move on. And then, you know, I just found myself stuck on but now. And so, you know, I mean, once you begin to realize what it is that but now signifies. I mean, I don't even know if I've got good enough words to explain but now. But yet and still, you know, look, I spent all the last week talking about but now. But you know what? But now just kind of followed me today. It's just that the fact that, you know, we were lost and didn't know we was lost. You ever find yourself going somewhere or thinking you're going somewhere? And you know, you broke out your best Thomas guy. Don't nobody have a Thomas guy. There you go. Just in case, right? Just in case. But you broke out your best Thomas guy. And or you went to AAA. Did you go to AAA?
Uh-huh.
Any of y'all got AAA? If you ain't got it, you need to get it, especially if you're going to So, because AAA will map out a road for you.
Yeah.
It'll map it out, and it'll tell you where to get gas, and it'll tell you where to eat. There you go, and where you can sleep. Amen. Amen. Thank God for AAA. But that's one of the best pieces of advice my daddy gave me growing up. He said, boy, when you get a call, make sure you get AAA. He said, because they'll help you when you break down, and they'll tell you where to go. And so, oftentimes, though, even though you've got a Thomas guide, and even though you've been to the AAA, and even though they've given you a route to follow, you'll still find yourself lost sometimes. And we're really no different, us Christians, really no different from a fellow who's going on a trip. Because we've been given a roadmap.
Yeah.
It's called the Bible. Yeah. But no matter oftentimes how you follow it, sometimes you just find yourself lost.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I think that's how the ancient Jews found themselves. They had the word. They had the oracles of God. They had it where they had received from God. And God gave them the oracles. He told them what nature of their relationship was with him. But somewhere along the way, they made a left when they should have made a right. They stopped when they probably shouldn't have stopped. And stayed maybe a little bit too long. And so somebody had to come around and help them read that map. That's all I'm saying is that Jesus is the fellow that came to help them read that map. See, what they did was that they took the oracles of God, but God wanted them to share the oracles of God. But instead, they made the oracles of God the thing that defined them. We don't necessarily want to share it because if we share us with you, that somehow diminishes us. But see, that should never be the case because we should be made a little bit better because we share.
Amen.
If you ever get lost, one of the first things you should do is find the gas station. And the reason why I tell you to find the gas station is because usually you have burnt up enough gas or you need some more gas. But usually the people at the gas station will tell you how to get back to the main highway. You'll find yourself back out there with Barney Fife and the rest of them. Until you find the gas station attendant. I think his name was Otis. Or maybe Otis was the guy who kept getting drunk and got thrown in jail. But when you need help, you take it from Otis. And Otis got them back to the highway. And that's all I'm saying is that at some point in time, they got lost. And Jesus had to come. And Jesus had to show them the way. And so here it is. But now, Paul begins to write here in verse 21, but now, I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on but now, but simply to say that, but now, ushers in something brand new, something that there wasn't before, something that they couldn't access prior to. But now, you were lost in your sins, but now, we got a way to course correct. But now, I've made a way. And so because he's made a way, we now have a way. Jesus, who's oldest in the show, showed us the way. But not only did he show us the way, he made the way. It's like Otis saying, hold on, let me get in your car and drive you to the main roadway. And that's all that Jesus did. Jesus hopped in your car and drove you to the main highway. But not only did he put you on the main highway, he said, well, I know where you're going. Let me take you. But now. And so here it is. He went through but now. Man, I don't want to go through. I'm going to go through but now anyway. But it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. And so what we said last week is that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Not only is he the physical righteousness of God, but he is truly the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Apart from the law, which meant that because he was righteous in and of himself, he automatically could carry or advise or abide by the law. And when we talk about the law, we talk about the law of Moses. Now you realize that no man can keep the law. But yet, God sends God to do that which we could not do ourselves. God, I mean, this still trips me out, and I say it every time, but I mean, even before God created man, he knew that man would disappoint him.
Amen.
He knew that man would fail, and you know, most of the things that we do in this life, we fail at. We try and call ourselves the best son that we can be, and sometimes we fail at that. We call ourselves trying to be the best husband, and you know, the fact of the matter is that we ain't always the best husband. We sometimes fail at that. We call ourselves trying to be the best husband that we can be, but sometimes we fail at that. We call ourselves trying to be the best preacher that we can be. See, notice, I'm just talking about things that I'm going through. I don't know what it is that you've gone through, but you've got your own failures. There's been some things that you tried to do that you have just simply failed at. Amen.
Amen.
And there ain't no shame in my game, and there should not be any shame in yours, especially when you begin to acknowledge, I am not all that I want to be.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that you will never be all that you want to be. So you got to find something, some way, some kind of way to be all that you can be in a different fashion. Sometimes you need help.
Yeah.
And I'm just not talking about in this life itself, but sometimes you need it. No, not sometimes. You needed help in your relationship with God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
God knew that when Adam fell, Adam wasn't going to be able to make it out of his hole by himself.
No.
That his progeny,
yeah,
which we are, was going to need some help to make it out of the hole that we continue to dig ourselves in. You know, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing in the same way and expecting a different outcome. Truth of the matter is that we all crazy on some degree. Y'all laughing. But the sad thing about it is that when crazy hook up with crazy, you got crazy two times. And then the sad thing about it is, right, you know you're crazy, and you know the one you can get ready to is crazy too, and so you stand before a crazy preacher saying, you know, crazy one, do you take crazy too? But some kind of way, God makes it work. So why am I talking about marriage? Because marriage is a relationship. And verse 22 tells us this, even the righteousness of God. Now, I like Paul. Paul is, you want to say somebody who is erudite. Just mean that he's super smart. But he's erudite. And some of the things he uses, you know, you ever read portions of the Bible and it's kind of like, hum the grits? And then you just move on because you're like, I don't understand that. And I'm not really trying to get that. I'm trying to get to something that I can understand. But now, Paul says some really exciting things if you just simply take the time to slow down and to read it. There's a thing, when I was working as a peace officer, there was a thing that they would do. Before you could shoot radar on a particular street, you had to do what was called a survey. And on that survey, at some point in time, the survey would say that there are items that are not apparent to the driver. In other words, the road that you might be riding on might have some curves that you couldn't see. And that's how come you could only go so fast, because you couldn't navigate the curve if you didn't know the roadway and if you were going too fast. Life is populated by curves that oftentimes you cannot see, which are not always available to the distinction of the driver. In other words, there are things that happen in life that you don't control. Just when you thought the boat was going straight, all of a sudden you need to turn because there's a big old iceberg. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, like boats, the difference between boats and ships. Boats, you can turn pretty good. Ships, you need a little bit of space and time. So even if you see the iceberg, the boat might miss the iceberg, but the ship, no matter when you see it, because it takes so much to turn, you'll end up hitting the iceberg. Most of us are not boats. You a ship. And when you see stuff, you react to it slowly. Because you're thinking that it will move out of the way. Because you a big old ship. But icebergs don't care. Because icebergs are bigger than most ships. Most of the iceberg is under the water. Most of the issues in your life are below what people can see. And so you might be going through a living hell under the water. But all they see is just the tip of the iceberg. Sin is the same way. You come here every Sunday, you look good, you smell good, y'all even act good. But most of the stuff that's going on is below the waterline. We don't know about the madness you got going on at home. All your children, all four of them, have lost their minds. You can go to that place if you want, but we staying here. Eat all your food out of your refrigerator. Don't bring no food back in the house. Yeah, y'all. Okay, you don't know what I'm saying. Hop in your car, go places with it, run all the gas out. And then don't take the time to put gas back in your car. I'm just saying. I don't know what you're going through at home. But maybe you ain't got crazy children, but maybe you just got a crazy husband or a crazy wife. Notice I said one or the other. You know why? Why are you going there giving that preacher all your money? You know they're all heathens. Chief of heathens. And every time you come back home, they always got something to say to them. What the preacher tell them about? He's like, well, you should have came. I ain't going there. I don't want to listen to him. He ain't never got nothing good to say, especially about me. All this dying and going to hell. But we find that Jesus pays it all. Jesus pays it all, even though as raggedy as we are, even as undeserving as we are, Jesus pays it all. And this is how God shows his righteousness to us. God shows his righteousness to us because this word righteousness, I quickly define it as being in right relationship with.
Amen.
Righteousness is a relationship. If I am in right relationship with God, or I'll make it even simpler, because so that way, if I break it down this way, you'll understand the relationship that God has with the sinner or with the believer. Righteousness denotes not just in one who's in right standing with, but he also denotes one who has a relationship with another. I can be a righteous father to an unrighteous son. Or I can be a righteous husband to a righteous wife. You didn't think I was going to say my wife was unrighteous. I can be a righteous friend.
Let's see that.
In righteousness, in one to the other, depending upon the nature of the relationship, if I'm going to be a good friend, say to Deacon Williams, there's a set of expectations that he has of me and a set of expectations I have of him. As my friend, as him being my friend, my expectation is that he wouldn't lie on me. He wouldn't steal from me. He wouldn't cheat me. And by the same token, he has that right to expect the same from me. I am a righteous friend to a righteous friend. In a relationship, say with my wife, if I'm going to be a righteous husband and her a righteous wife, I must be what? Hers and hers alone. And she must be mine and mine alone. We may not always agree on the same thing the same way, but at the end of the day, sometimes we have to agree to disagree. There's some things that I don't dare bring up in an argument because I have a responsibility to not only argue my case, but also preserve the relationship.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
You've been in a relationship long enough, you know where the landmines are. Amen. Yeah. And ladies, you know how to cut. And men, you learn how to suck it up. You were sitting there having a conversation, you didn't cut all 7 ways from Sunday. You bleeding out, but you don't dare step on the landmine. Because at the end of the day, you want to preserve that relationship. The same is true with God the Father and us. God is a righteous God.
Yes, he is.
He has an expectation of us. And those expectations of us are first shown to us through Noah. For when Noah was spoken to by God, because he believed God and did what it was that God said, it was counted to him as righteousness. After the flood, God then enters into another covenant with Abraham. Because God is a righteous God. He expects righteousness from those who he communes with or has a relationship with. When he spoke to Abraham and told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, the Bible says that Abraham believed.
Yes, sir.
And that this was counted to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Therefore, we call Noah righteous. We call Abraham righteous. But then, as the Jews began to populate, God had to find a way to let men know that everything you do ain't right. There had to be a law so that way you knew what the standard was. Otherwise, anything could go. So God lays down the law, gives it through Moses, who gives it to the people. Look, I know I'm going around about a long way to explain to you what righteousness is. But once you understand what righteousness is, you begin to understand how important it is that Christ does what it is that he does. God gives them the law, letting them know that there is a standard. And you know, just like anything else, once the law has been laid, it's on you to keep it.
Right.
But guess what?
Come on now.
No man could keep the law.
No.
So, in his infinite wisdom, God sends God. I just love that. I just keep running with it because it's just amazing to me that God would send his only begotten son. And like I said, and I'll say it again, as much as I like y'all, I do. And some of y'all I really actually love. But I ain't sending my son to die for none of y'all. But God sends God to die for us. And we know us. We know us is raggedy. We know us can be liars. Not none of y'all here, right? Because y'all tell the truth all the time. You telling people you ain't home and you home. You calling your job telling them you sick, but you as healthy as all. I'm moving on. I want y'all to still like me when this is over. But God, who knows all there is to know about us, allows yet still for his son to die for us because we couldn't pay a price. Jesus fulfills the law, but then Jesus picks up our tab. Picks up a bill that we couldn't pay. We kind of like that fella or fellas and gals. Matter of fact, just recently it was a bunch of good women. Went into a place, ordered all the food, all the good food. You know, they had scrumps and you know, they had drinks, you know, because shrimp tastes better with drinks. I wouldn't know. Just entertaining myself today. And they ordered all that they could order. And so at the end, when the bill came due, they had no intentions of paying the bill. Matter of fact, some broke left, some broke right, and some just said, forget it, I ain't paying it because I can't run. We're no better than them. Because the truth of the matter is that we're just like people who ate at a feast. You went, knew that you couldn't pay, but you just did what you wanted to do. You kind of like the Addams Family. Remember the song that MC Hammer sang back in the day? They do what they want to do.
Say what they want to say.
They dance how they want to dance. Play like they want to play.
Right.
The Addams Family. Each and every one of us has been a part of the Addams Family. We done played like we want to play. Acted like we want to act. And at the end of the day, Lord, you should just, you know my heart. You know. Yeah, he know your heart. Know where you been. You know, look, back in the day, now nobody in here, right, where y'all would go out on a Saturday night, be smoking and drinking, and then be like, oh, wow, we got to make our way to church. You'd come to church smelling like you was at the club, smelling like cigarette smoke, smelling like, why? Because even though you did that all the night before, you just thought, well, you know what, I got to be in church because if I don't go to church, you know, my mama going to jump on me. And she can tell, you know, how red your eyes was and how your clothes smelled, and so did everybody around you. But you ended up in church. And then you turned around and you said, well, Lord, you know my heart. Crazy. Thinking that you're going to get somehow a different result because you just keep acting crazy. God don't care nothing about your crazy. I've got a law. Here's the law. And all through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, up until verse 21, he tells us that that type of living will send you to heaven. But now that Jesus has come, you don't have to rely on trying to keep a law that you can't keep. Because it's not in you to keep.
No.
Even at our very best, the Bible tells us we're nothing more than filthy rags. You ever try and clean anything with a filthy rag? Anything that you clean it with a filthy rag, and it was somewhat filthy before, is really nasty now. And see, the filthy rags they talking about?
Yeah, peace.
No, I'm not even going to go there.
All right.
But you study for yourself the filthy rags that they're talking about.
Right.
And you'll know that not only would it be filthy, it would be nasty. But God sends God. And thus is the righteousness of God. You don't deserve it. What you do deserve is heaven.
Yes, sir.
You can't earn it.
No.
But he gives it freely. Can't be nice enough because you can never be nice enough. Can't be good enough
No.
because you can never be good enough. Can't be born into the right family because there is no right family.
No, sir.
Can't buy it because you ain't got money enough to buy God. You can only receive it.
Yes, sir.
And see, this is what freaks people out, right? Because it's like, it don't cost you nothing, but it costs you everything. It's free, but yet it's not.
High price.
There's a high price, but you didn't pay the cost for it. But because you receive it, now you've entered, you are consummated the righteousness of the relationship. You are now in right standing, not because of you,
no,
but because of Jesus. You're now able to stand before God because Jesus has imputed,
yes,
or given unto you the righteousness that he has earned or is,
yes,
from the Father.
Amen.
Now your relationship is, and what God expects from us, he has given us the righteousness of God. His righteousness he expects from us. Lord, I can't keep the law. I understand you can't keep the law, but you're going to do it to the best of your ability.
Yes. Press.
You ever have, I don't know about your daddy, but my daddy was one of those people, he was kind of like Yoda. At some point in the movie of Star Wars, I think it was the third one where Luke is in the forest and the X-Wing fighter is starting to sink in the mud. And he turns to Yoda and he says, I've tried and I can't do it. Yoda closes his eyes and he lifts his hand. And all of a sudden the X-Wing fighter starts to shake a little bit. And then it begins to rise. And it comes up out of the mud. It's muddy, it's nasty, it's dirty. But he did it. Look at Yoda. Yoda say, don't try. Do. God, just like Yoda, he ain't asking you to try. He telling you to do it. One makes a determination that I'll make the attempt. God expects you to do it. Oftentimes we think that our attempts are the same as doing.
Well,
further from the truth than that is. Your attempts is trying to basically appease a God who says do. He says keep the law, but if you can't keep the law here, I'll send somebody that will let you keep the law. But you know what? You're going to stay in relationship with me. You've got to be holy. See, the one thing that God never changes, holiness. Because if you're holy, you'll keep the law. If you're holy, you'll do the right thing. If you're holy, your children will respect you. If nothing else, they'll be scared of you. If you're holy, your reputation would be a lot better than what it is. I ain't talking about nobody here, right? Because we all have sterling reputations. Jesus picks up our tab because we can't pay what it is. But then Jesus is the founder of the feast. And we know this in verses 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We dropped the ball. We fumbled it. You know, every Friday and Saturday and today being Sunday, there's multiple football games that are played and multiple fumbles occur. No matter how much you rumble, stumble, and bumble down the field, somebody hits you the right way, you're going to lose the ball. Life is the same way, isn't it? No matter how you rumble, stumble, and bumble through this life, somebody's going to hit you. They're going to hit you in your feelings. Somebody might actually hit you. And then somewhere along the way, we lose our religion. All of a sudden, that which has been inside, you start coming out. You start speaking in tongues. I ain't talking about Honda, Cadillac, Mercedes. I'm talking about flip-flop fur. All that that you have been repressing. Sometimes the Lord allows things to happen to us to see what it is that you've been storing up inside of us. How are you going to act when somebody takes something from you? How are you going to act if somebody hits you? How are you going to act if somebody hits your car? How are you going to act if somebody break in your house and take your favorite vase? I'm just being nice. I don't know. You probably got something in there where something broke in your house. But how are you going to act? And then having to help the soul if you catch them.
Yeah.
I hope they burn in hell. Or do you turn around and say, here, come on, man. Let me pray for you. What was it that you were doing that made you feel that you had to come up in my house and take my thing?
God help you.
But the fact of the matter is that y'all ain't too much different. We much rather get even than get right. He calls us to be right with one another because he calls it righteousness. But you know you have stolen from God. God lets you breathe his good air. Don't you know you've taken his name in vain? I mean, if we were just friends, at the very least, you would take some care in my name. But he's your God, and yet and still, you got to turn around and say God and follow it with an adjective. Y'all work it out. But yet and still, God continues to bless you, still gives you health and strength, still makes sure that, you know, you lay down and you rise up to see a day that wasn't really promised to you, but yet and still, he's been righteous to you. Have you been righteous to God? Jesus is the founder of the feast. He freely and graciously declares that we are righteous, even though our actions are unrighteous. And you can understand why that I'm just being blown out of my mind as I'm going through this. It's no longer hum to grits. But now it's like, but now takes me one place. But yet God takes me to another. But God lets me know that the position that I was in before was a hopeless position. But now I'm in a better position than I was before. Yet God, despite all the nastiness that I have done in my past, he still loves me with an everlasting love. So that yet God. And again, this is the three-letter words that blow me out of the water. We spend most of our time trying to figure out words like sanctification and righteousness and glorification and hermeneutics and homiletics. And we're working on 50-cent words when it's the three-letter words that rock my world. It's the three-letter words that make all the difference. And maybe some five-letter words like please and thank you. Because we ought to have been spending more time telling God, please save my soul. Yes. And thank you for doing so. Yes. As opposed to trying to make excuses. Because at the end of the day, that's all we do. Well, nobody in here, right? Because y'all ain't in the business of making excuses, right? I mean, you know, the bill got paid on time, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody said, amen, good. Well, let the preacher know that you got a bill out there. But we spend our time making excuses as to why we can't get it right, as opposed to getting it right. God never said try. God says do. We have settled for try when God says do. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And he's paid the price. Jesus paid it all. I'm done. All to him I owe. sin had left a crimson stain. But God has made me white as snow. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I did it again. I spent all this time on one word. But it's important for us to know that all words ain't hominy hominy. But the words mean something. And they mean something in the way that they're said.
Yes.
We overlook the 50-cent word. And maybe we should. Because it's the three-letter words that make all the difference in my life. If there wasn't a but now, then I wouldn't have a yet God. But now, Jesus is coming. Jesus, who is the righteousness of God. We understand that the righteousness of God obligates him, but not only obligates him, but also obligates us. If I'm going to be a good father, a good son, a good friend, there are things that are incumbent upon me to make a relationship work. Y'all understand that. Y'all understand relationships. Because you either in a relationship, just got out of a relationship, or trying to make a relationship work. But that's one thing that I understand about the human condition, is that we all need some type of relationship. We all need a friend. We all need a brother. We all need a sister. The fact of the matter is that church, one big relationship.
Amen.
Shame on us if we don't realize that we need one another.
Yeah.
Time for clicking up is over and done with. We need each other.
Yeah.
Especially more so when we begin to see the end of the age.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful things that are happening in this building, in this church, in this place. I'm glad to see Morrissey. You know, we got some things going on with our youth. All right, this is the sermon after the sermon. But praise be unto him. Praise be not unto you. Unto God. That Morrissey has stepped up and he's we're going to have us a kickback.
Yeah.
Now, I ain't never participated in one. Probably won't participate in this one because they'd be like, who's this old guy? Why is he here? But we're looking to grow us, and by us growing us, sometimes we have to allow people to grow in their relationship with us.
Take it on.
Whether y'all know it or not, there was a reason why Pastor Palacios was here last week. We got a church that wants to kind of join with us. Just to let y'all know, the kingdom of heaven ain't gonna look like all of us.
Come on now.
There's going to be some Hispanic folk up in there.
Come on now.
There's
going
to be some Asian folk up in there. There's going to be some white folk up in there. Don't be surprised if you see Trump. He might be there. I don't know. But what I do know is this. Heaven ain't going to look like all of us. And so y'all be ready for the change. Yeah. Don't fight.
Okay.
Invite.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we all got to be like little children.
Yes.
I'm sorry to have seen Mr. Man go with the baby. I was cool with the baby. The baby was his baby. You know, I don't mind competing with anybody when I'm preaching. And especially babies. Because a church that's growing has babies.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So, ma'am, you go when you find your husband, tell him to shame on him that he didn't. The baby is welcome all the time. If the baby want to wander, let the baby wander. If the baby want to come up here with me, she can do that too. Amen.